Repeating the last shiur, we didn't have a shiur yesterday. The foundation of the shiur is a maimer from the Rebbe Rashab, which is called Ein Arech Lecha. It's a very, very famous maimer. It's short and reads easy, but it's deeper than deep. It's one of my moram that you understand what it says because you don't understand that you don't understand what it says, you know. Tafresh Nun Beisim Chasteire, and then again Tafresh Nun Dal 2 years later, word for word, the same maimer Ein Arech Lecha. And the Maimer goes through the four levels of Enerech Lecha, Ein Zoloscha, Efes Botecha, Midei Melech. And the Friedrich Rebbe in Hemshech Tzadik Dalet has a Maimer that starts Enerech Lecha, another Maimer that starts Ein Zoloscha, a third Maimer that starts Efes Botecha, and a fourth Maimer which starts Midei Melech. I think he has all four. And the Pashtas, they're based on this Reishon and Beis and Reishon and Dalet, Haschol and Nesiyim at least. And in that Maimer, the Rebbe Rashab says, Akval de Kavod. First, I'm going to say the Nekuda, and then I'm going to repeat the Gan Sariches. The Nekuda is that if Hishtalshlus would end in Atzilus, we would know Moir and we wouldn't know Atzmus. In other words, if Hishtalshlus ended in Atzilus, we would know that the Eibishter is Tachlus Shlemus Hamailo, but we would not know the concept of Yeshua Miti or Havaya. Havaya, which explained in some Maimorim, and as I told you the other day, I think it's based on the Ginnis Ege, it's based on Kabbalah. Havaya doesn't mean creator, Havaya doesn't mean hide in time, Havaya means I am because I am, period. Havaya means Ich bin Faran. Mashpia once said in a Fabrengen, a Faranenkeit. I don't know if you remember earlier this year, I told you this Maise that I heard, Faran. Remember that? Faran of the Shin Lamed Gibbeis? Remember? The Rebbe Rashab said about Atzmus. Faran. Vos is Faran veisim inisht. Aber Faran. He is. What it is, we don't know, but he is. Faran. And that's Havaya. Havaya doesn't mean anything other than I am. And from Giluyim, you're not going to know that. This is the Nekuda that we discussed and that we're going to be repeating today again. Now I'm going to represent the three in Yonim that we discussed. I'm just repeating it. The first is Memalek Kol Alman, right? Inasmuch as the Eibishter is a creator, we say, Ma Neshama Memalek Aguf, Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu Memalek Elam. The Neshama fills the body, the Eibishter fills the world. This concept of creation, Ma Neshama Memalek Aguf, Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu Memalek Elam, is not Yesh Me'ayin at all. Because in this concept, the Eibishter is not creating the world. The material of the world which already exists. However it exists, the Eibishter is infusing it with life and order and purpose so that its existence should be living. But all the Eibishter is putting into the material, into the chaymed of the reality is memale
esaguf. Can you explain that? What do you mean? What's the difference? What's the difference
inside? When you put a neshama into a guf, the guf is now living. Yeah, but is the guf created by the neshama? So in the Nimshal, right, the Eibishter, this one aspect, when you talk about the Eibishter's presence, what is the Eibishter in the world? The simplest evidence of the Eibishter in the world is the idea that the world makes so much sense, and the world is so beautiful, and the world is so orderly. So it says that somebody sensical made this. Somebody orderly made this. Somebody beautiful made this. But that doesn't mean he's making the material of creation. He's taking the material of creation that already exists, what the Psad Yagon calls Haruchni, and he's organizing it, and he's beautifying it, v'choli, v'choli. You follow? That's the first idea. The second idea is Eir and Moir. Eir and Moir is more than Memali. Man Hashem Ma'azaguv, Kachar Rach Ma'asalem. Why? Or as we discussed it in the Nimshal Atzilus. Why? Because when you speak about Eir and Moir, Moir is not organizing Eir, it's creating Eir. Oyer does not only become perfected or improved by Moir. Moir is creating Oyer. Moir is creating Oyer. And you could say the words, Moir is creating the word Yesh Me'ayin. First there was no Oyer, and then there is Oyer. Or to say it in articulate form. When you're talking about the sun and the sun's light, since the sun does not have any control, whether the light is going to come from the sun or not, it's as if you could say the sun is not creating the sun's light. The Eibishter is creating the sun's light. The Eibishter created the sun, and he's mukhrach to be made. The sun must produce light. The fact that the sun must produce light means the sun is not a balabayas over that. If the sun is not a Baal Bayis over that air, you cannot say the sun is creating the air. The sun is coming out of the mar, but you know it's creating the light. The Eibishter is. Because the Eibishter took away from the sun the Bechira, or never gave the sun the Bechira, whether or not there should be air. But with the Eibishter, it's Beratzen. If the Eibishter wants, there won't be air. So when air comes out of the Eibishter, it has the property of creation. No, but this, we're not talking about the motion. We're talking about the oyer. Okay, it's a bezunder prat. The oyer comes out of the Eibishter. The moir is creating the oyer. But in Lashna Chasidus, it's creating the oyer b'derech kiruv. So oyer and moir is more than ila and olav, right? When you talk about mamale kol almin, the first set, mamale kol almin, the neshama mamale saguf, the neshama is not creating the guf. The guf already exists from separate. And the neshama gives it chayas. Oyer and moir, the moir is not only giving chayas to the oyer is giving a metzias to the oyer, but there is no, quote, helem vehester habeire me'anivra, there's no concealment of the creation from the creator. You look at the oyer, you know the source. Okay, so you don't have the yesh me'ayin quality. You don't have in the oyer yeshes. You don't have in the oyer independence. All you have in the oyer is reflection. And dependence, or reflectiveness, reflectedness, and dependency. You don't have independence, yeah? And that's why we have the third model. What's the third model? The Eibishter creates the world. Now, the Eibishter creates the world is also Yesh Me'ayin, like Eden Moir. Eibishter is not simply organizing the material of the world, right? We hold, and Rambam holds, Al Trebe Shturims, that because of Yesh Me'ayin, there has to be what we call His Havas B'chol Rega, creation every second. And because we hold Yesh Me'ayin, and we therefore hold creation every second, we automatically hold Yediya and Hashgacha Pratis, all the things that the Pekorsim did not believe, because they said that Yesh Me'ayin was Nimna, right? They held, Aristotle held, that the Eibishter is not creating the material, he's simply organizing it. So the material is primordial, the material always existed, and that's why he held that the Eibishter is not involved in the earth. We hold of Yesh Me'ayin, and Yesh Me'ayin, the Rebbe describes in Tanya, based on Eraya, from Svarim, from Apostolic, has to be constant. Every second, that's has to be new. It's new. If the Eibishter is renewing the material of the world every single second, he probably has to know what's going on in the world that he just renewed. He probably has to have some manner of mastery, hashgach over it, if he's creating it, Me'ayin, ve'efes hamuchet, b'chol rega ve'rega, Yesh Me'ayin. So the Eibishter creates the world, Yesh Me'ayin, but here there's one more detail which you don't have in Eidem Moir. And that is Helam Behesta Rabbeinim Anivra. The Creator is hidden from the creation. Now, when you think about it, Bepashtus, when you think about these three things, now obviously the first one is lower than the second and the third. Why? Because the first one, the Eibishter is not described as a creator. When you talk about the Eibishter as being Mamalias Ha'olam, Hashem is not a creator, He's an organizer, He's a soul. Just like your body is made up of chemical and biological and physical components. And the neshama comes into these material and gives them an order and a form and a purpose and a regeneration and a longevity. But it's not creating the chaymer, it's simply giving life to the chaymer. The first idea, the Eibishter is like the neshama of the universe, so to speak. So in the first model, the world exists, Eibishter is organizing it. But on the second and the third, the Eibishter is not simply organizing, he's creating. What's the difference between the way he creates Oyer and the way he creates Nivrayim? Because Oyer is created by Derech Kiruv. By the way, Mendy, you should know that the discussion you're learning about is tied into this. Where you're holding in some of our page Lamed Vov, in the old print. Oyer creates Moir, creates Oyer, but in a way that it's obvious that Oyer comes from Oyer. Ayin creates Yesh in a way that it's not obvious that Yesh comes from Ayin. Right? The Eibishter creates the world, Yesh Me'ayin, what's a tight Yesh? We relate to ourselves, don't relate to Him. As I've said to you over the last few days, come upon Him, the one who was responsible for atheism and agnosticism is the creator of the world. Why? Because He concealed Himself. Kimaime, that guy who called up on the radio some 20 years ago when they were talking about proof for God, and he said, I'll believe in God, let Him reveal Himself. It's a richtige Taine, it's a gewaltige Taine. It's a Taine Tzedekes, it's a oisgehaltene Taine, it's absolutely correct. So the Rebbe Rashab, in this Mam, in Erech Lecha, says, Amoidin de Kavart. He says, when you think about these two types of creation, one type of creation is Oyre Mor, you look at the light, you know the source. The other type of creation is yesh and an. You look at the yesh, you don't know the source. And you think that oir and moir is a better creation model, and yesh man is the worst creation model. Why? Because the oir and moir creation model reveals the creator. The yesh and ayin creation model hides the creator. Says that Rabbi Rashab, you're making a mistake. It's the other way around. I'm going to say this again. Light from a source is yesh mayin. It's creation. Light is not simply being improved by the source. It's being created by it. Yesh and ayin is also a creation. So when you look at these forms of creation, oir from a source, and a yesh from an ayin, what's the difference? When you look at the oir, you automatically know the moir. Emein amoir, dveikas, giloi, tiruf. Mashenkin, a yesh miayin, it's helam and avdola, and it's aschalkos, and it's akbola. You don't see the source. But you should know, says the Rebbe Rashab, there's a mile in yesh miayin of ilu yolo. Why? And the idea that we discussed in the Shir of Tuesday, and I'm going to push it to repeat this, is as follows. If the Eibishter ended Hishtalshos and Atzilus, which is Oyer, Atzilus would reveal to us Moir, the Eibishter. What would the Eibishter be? The Eibishter would be Baal Kol HaMailis Kulam. Hashem would be Einsev, every Maila. Every Maila. He'd be smart and he'd be passionate and he'd be sensitive and he'd be Alamailis, right? Einsev Sfidus, of which we know only 10. But there's one thing that the Oyer would not reveal to us about the Eibishter. And that he's a yesh. Now, according to what we're learning here, yesh has two components. Yesh has two components. Not one, two. One, two. Two components. And again, this is repetitious, but it's edel. It's a scholar. You have to repeat it. The simple advantage of the word yesh is mitziyusei matzmusei. What's that mitziyusei matzmusei?
That he created himself.
Okay, let's idolize that. He exists only from himself. If you exist only from yourself, either you created yourself, which is impossible, or you always existed. Mitzuyusei me'atzmusei means that the Eibishter's existence is only from himself, which means, in other words, he created himself. Right? Now, Oyer and Moyer is the same thing. Right? Oyer and Moyer is the same thing. When you learn about Oyer, you know that there's a source. What's the source? The source is every maile in a source with a capital S state. The source also is mitziyusei matzmusei. But there's a second thing. And the second thing you only know from yesh and ayin, you don't know from meir and moir. You know what that is? That the Eibishter's mitziyus is built in mitziyus nimtza. Which means Hashem has every maile, but that's not Hashem. Hashem is not that he has every maile. That he has every maile is called ein seif. There's something else about Hashem, which is called ein tchila. You know what that is? That he exists for no reason. That he's Havaya. Not Havaya that he's a creator. Not Havaya that he's ain't safe. Not that Havaya is some other exotic and exclusive thing. Havaya, I is. Finished. I am. I be. End of story. I exist. And my existence is not about anything other than existence itself. The second idea, that in addition to the Eibishter being Mitzvah Matzmusa, he's built in Mitzvah Nimtza. And the way you understand the words built in Mitzvah Nimtza means he doesn't have a relationship to time. He doesn't have a relationship to space. He doesn't have a relationship to matter. He doesn't have a relationship to anything else. And there's one more. He doesn't have any relationship to a reason. His existence has no definition. There's no reason Hashem exists. If there's no reason Hashem exists, you cannot define him as anything, including Moir. You can't call Eibishter Moir. Why? Because Moir has a taich, a source of air. What's air? Ain't safe. What's more, the source of ain't safe. So the Eibishter is not ain't safe, the Eibishter is not the source of ain't safe, he's ain't chila. So you've got two concepts here. From Oyer you can know Moed. From the light of Hashem you can know the Eibishter. What's Hashem? He's infinite. Infinite, he can do anything he wants. Every single possibility exists in the Eibishter, actually ad infinitum. Bligvul. Right? He's the biggest genius, he's the greatest musician, he's the greatest artist, yeah? But does he have an eye? Does he have an eye? How did I describe it to you in the last year? If you come over to a genius and take away his brain, what's left over? It depends. If he identifies himself by his intelligence, there's nothing left over. But if he's a healthy human being, he's the same person he was before. You took away his intelligence. But the eye is the same. The yesh is the same. And psychologically, that's what a health is. That's what health is. Health is that your existence is about existing, not about your purpose. I mean, this is such a truism.
Purpose?
Yeah, that's right. Not about your purpose.
Doesn't every existence need a purpose?
Every existence needs a purpose if somebody else created it. But existence doesn't need a purpose if it created itself. It doesn't need a purpose if its worth is that it exists. Let me ask you a person.
You're getting a mush between a person and a baby.
Let me give you an example. A human being is in a coma. Is there a point in keeping him alive? A human being is a vegetable. Is there a point in saving him and spending millions of thousands of dollars a day to nourish him and to keep him on all these machines and so on and so forth? Why do we do it? So the skittish answer to the question is, because halacha says you're not allowed to take a life. Or, to be more precise, we're afraid to analyze the halacha deeply enough to determine this question about brain death. Right? Blau was telling me that there's been research done that shows that people can come back after brain death. If one person ever comes back after brain death, then the criteria of brain death is no longer death. Why? Because death means it's irrevocable. I know a Yid who had a brother, Nebuch, who went into a car, whatever it is, he had an episode, and he was brain dead. They didn't know what to do. They called up a very big Rav, and the Rav said, keeping a person who's brain dead on machines is bizui hames. Imagine. This is one position. And the other position is, how do you pull the plug on a person? What do you know about brain activity? What do you know about life? Now, I'm not getting into the halacha. A lot of people would argue that it's just cowardice not to say, the Rav who said, bizui hames, is a gone. And he's the Meshav Einstein's son. I'll tell you what it is. The Meshav Zazun. So some are going to say that a more Haredi Rav is not going to say it because he's a coward. And another they're going to say, how do you measure life? That idea that you don't measure life is called Yesh. You're never going to say that about a dog. Even if he's your favorite pet, or a goldfish, or a poodle. The minute they don't have a purpose to live, they have no reason to live. Only a human being. Why? Because the value of a human being is greater than his value. The milas of a human being are part of the Moed Oyer scheme. The metzias of the human being, that a human being has inherent worth, is part of the Yesh Ayin scheme. The Rebbe Rashab says, and this is really an interesting spin on the whole thing, right? Why does Hashem create a world and hide himself? Why does Hashem create a world and hide himself, right? So, of course, if you're a cynic, you'll say, well, Hashem making it very difficult to believe in Him. He wants us not to believe in Him. If you're a sincere person, you'll say, Hashem hides Himself because He wants us to look for Him. But if you're a deep enough person, you'll say, Hashem hides Himself because only in the hiddenness do we actually meet Him. If He was revealed, we would know from His revelation, His moed, His milus. What is the Eibishter? That he's smart, that he's sensitive, that he's kind. Take away the Eibishter's milus, there's nothing left over. Do you know that there's human beings on this earth who must always perform? Always perform. They're always on a stage. And they're very funny, and they're very entertaining, and they're very interesting, and they're very engaging. But you can't be married to such a person. You can't have a relationship with such a person. Because life is not a stage. Life is not an act. A human being who the minute he stops showing off, starts to doubt his existence, is deeply deficient. He's great fun. He's a lot of fun. You know, and if I bring him, he's entertaining. And at a party, he's entertaining. But when he sits by himself, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Why? Because he's not in touch with his eye. The eye of the person has no maile. It's not smart, it's not kind, it's not funny, it's not interesting, it's not engaging, it's not entertaining. It doesn't make people laugh. But it's the emes of a person. That emes of the person is Mesiachas to the emes of the Eibishter. We would never know this about the Eibishter if he was revealed. If the Eibishter was revealed, he would be the Ein Sof entertainer.
Doesn't Ein Sof include everything else also?
No. Because what's the Ein Sof? Ein Sof what? Milus.
Why?
Because you tell me what Ein Sof means. Infinite what? When you say Ein Tchila, no beginning, or you say Yesh, independent existence, even here, the Rebbe Rashab, I want you to know that there's two things here. One thing is Metziusei Me'atzmusei. And the second thing is built in Metzius Nimtza. One thing is he has no dependency on anything other than himself. And the second thing is, but he's not defined by anything. You cannot say that the Eibishter is smart. It's not what makes him the Eibishter. You cannot say the Eibishter is kind. It's not what makes... You can't say the Eibishter is infinite. You can't say the Eibishter is Mo'er, a source of infinity, because he's not defined by all those things. He is those things. So what is he defined by? That he is. Period. Then, full stop. Yesh. And the Rebbe Rashab says, if not for Asiyah, Hashem wouldn't be revealed. So it's another whole, it's a completely different way of looking at the situation. You know why Hashem hides? Because only in the hiddenness do we actually meet Him. If the universe, if Ishtar Shlos ended with Atzilus, we would know every wonderful thing about the Eibishter. But to use a classic term, we would not know that He has a core. That He has an eye. That He has an existence, that He has a purpose, He has a worth that's not connected to any kind of an expression. So let's do it. Okay? So the Rebbe says, Rak. I'm reading it again. Okay, this is sort of the, this is it. We're done. I'm not going to spend any more time on this. And I don't know what I'm doing with the last two pages. I pushed it, don't know. I mean, we did it. We didn't do it. Rak. It is only page Tav Reish Aleph. Me'inyin ha'ashavos ha'nas ha'yedei ha'er. The fact that there is another phenomenon. Besides for the fact that oir and moir, can I give you one? Besides for the fact, page Tafer Eshidol. Besides for the fact that the Rebbe taught us in the previous paragraph, from oir, the whole principle of oir is as being a moir. The whole concept of godliness is that meeting godliness is de facto meeting God. That's the whole point. Nevertheless, even though godliness, meaning godliness, is de facto meaning God, it's still true that from godliness you don't know God. Why from godliness you don't know God? Because there's more to the Eibishter than Moir. And then the Rebbe said something else. Not only from godliness don't you know God, from godliness don't even know Moir. Why? Because there's two inyanim in Moir. The lower inyan of Moir is the Metzius Nimtza, which you can know from Moir. And the higher union of Moir is Messias built in him, so that Hashem's existence, He has every Mila, but He's not defined by those Milas. If Hashem has every Mila, He's not defined by those Milas, no Mila will tell you what He is. So the Rebbe now says, Rak, Minyan Aisavas and Nasa de Ha'ir. Yitaka cannot know from Oir, Atzmus. You can't even know from Oir, Moir, in as much as Moir is built in Messias Nimtza, but from creation you can. Oir creates Yashmiyayin. Now, Oir and Yashmiyayin are opposites. Why? Because the whole principle of Oir is Dveikas and Kiriv and Bittel. And the whole principle of Yashmiyayin is Yichok and Helman Avdolah. But Oir carries the Yeshus of Hashem in a hidden way. And at the end of Seder Ishtarsus, Oir reveals the Keich of Yesh. So create Yesh Lamata, as we discussed in earlier classes, based on the Tanya against the Kedish Chof. Says the Rebbe Ono Yedim, we know two things. Not one thing, but two things. Number one, that Atzmus is Metziusei Me'atzmusei. And number two, Shoha Atzmus who Nimtza v'chein is built in Metzius Nimtza. They're two separate points. Number one, that Hashem's existence is from Himself. Now, I just put words into the Rebbe's mouth. And number two, that the idea that Hashem's existence is only from Himself is non-existential. That means to say He's not defined by His properties, by His milas, by His entertainment value, by His utilitarian worth, but simply by His existence. Sha'arei. We know that the phenomena of Eir created Yesh Me'ayin. Now, Eir and Yesh Me'ayin are opposites, because Eir is Dveikus, and Yesh Me'ayin is Helem v'Hester Abedim Anivra. But Eir carries that Yesh. Whereas, inasmuch as Eir is like the source, and what is the source? Who muhusei v'atzmusei shalamaitzel baruchu. The Eir is Me'ayin Amor, means the light is a reflection of the source. Now, the way I like to teach it is that the Oyer being a reflection of the source means everything the Eibishter is in the Oyer, including those things that Oyer cannot reveal about Moir. But the Rebbe Rashab seems to say otherwise in an earlier page. And there's two points here. Number one, I'm third line into the paragraph, Shemitzusim Atzmus. His existence is from himself. Ve'einoy olol, he's not an effect. Me'eze il shekodim lechas v'shalim, from anything that came before him. Right? So the Eibishter is Metziusei Me'atzmusei. V'lochein, in as much as the Eibishter is Metziusei Me'atzmusei, his existence is only from himself, who levada he alone, b'keche v'yecholte, live in a Yesh Me'ayin, the Efes HaMichot has the strength and the freedom to create Yesh Me'ayin. In other words, the Eibishter could create a world which exists in such a way that it's belishum ila v'siba acheres kedemus liyesh hazevichul has no cause and has no indirect cause that came before it. Harei demisavas yesh miayin, that from the world, which is a yesh, taich yesh, the Eibishter created this universe in such a way that it should be able to say, I need nothing but me. Or I am my own God. Right? That's a yesh. Hashem created a universe that shows no need for pipes or wires or influence from outside of this universe. The universe is entirely self-sustaining. Right? The universe screams, Aniv Afseyet. I need nothing outside of me. This is called yeshes. The Eibishter's yeshes that makes the world perceive itself as if it needs nothing. And now comes the point. That's point one. From the fact that this world is a yesh, we know that the Eibishter has to be a yesh. His existence from himself. But now comes point two. Whereas, since the Eibishter exists only from himself, he's a built-in mitzvus nimtza. And these are two separate things. You know what two separate things? It's one thing to say that the Eibishter exists only from himself, and there's another thing to say Eibishter doesn't have a reason to exist. You could say Hashem exists only from himself, and what is his existence? Infinity. And then you're saying Hashem exists only from himself, and he's infinite, but what is his existence? That he exists. Yesh. I am. I am as no maile. It doesn't say anything special, but it says something absolute. My existence needs no reason to be. And this you see on earth, tackled by people. How you measure human beings. You don't have this by anything else. Kol kavua kamechza mechza. One Jew is equal to a million Jews. I say the halacha. Right? If a guy comes and says, give me one or I'm going to kill you all. You're not allowed to give him one. Now there's two exceptions to that rule. Number one, if there's one who deserves to die, kisheve ben bichri, so then you can give him. And number two, it's in Rambam, in Mesiras Nefesh. There was a guy named Sheve ben Bichri who deserved Misa, and they gave him up. Yoyev gave him up that they should save a city. And number two, if someone wants to volunteer. But one is a million. Now you're gonna say, okay, we're not giving any Jew up, so all the Jews are going to die. It doesn't make any sense. And the Tetzach says, you can't make logic out of this. The value of a human being, one is like a million. You can't measure commas at all. That's not because a human being is smart, and he can build nice computers, and drive nice cars, and have a nice house, and make good speeches. It's because he exists. That existence is Mesiachas to the Yeshes of the Eibishter. That's called Mitzius Seimei Atzmusa. He exists from himself. And it's called Mitzius, built in Mitzius Nimtza. His Mitzius has no tayar, has no definition. V'chol she Mitzius Seimei Atzmusa. Five lines from the end, there are four lines from the end. Anything that's existence only from himself, Memela automatically, Einer Bechiris Mitzius Nimtza. Its existence is not an existential. What does that mean? You cannot ask why he is. He just is. The daf gedavish and ishava b'chinas mitzias. Something that was created has to have a definition. Why it was created? By whom it was created? And for what it was created? That's its mitzias. That's its form. Ava mashalein ishava, something which was not created meilein b'chinas mitzias. Now, I'm saying something that the Rebbe Rashab isn't saying, which means I'm wrong. But I'm going to say it again. Now, why would I say something that's wrong again? Because it makes the point. The Rebbe Rashab is really saying that it's impossible to be a mitzias matzmuse. That's a mitzias nimtza. What I'm saying is that from Oyr and Mor, you would know Mitzvah Matzmusay, but you would not know built in Mitzvah Nimtz. If the universe ended with Atzilus, we would think that the Eibishter is infinity, and that's it. There's no Yesh. I is Mitzvah Matzmusay. This connection that the Rebbe makes here, that something which exists only from itself is automatically Mitzvah built in Mitzvah Nimtz, we would not know if there wasn't an Asiyah. So once we know it, we say, it can't be any other way. That Mitzvusim Atzmusim, Mitzvus built in Mitzvus Nimtz are interconnected, they're both the same. But if the Eibishter ended the universe, ended Ishtalshus, without Atzilus, we wouldn't know it. V'hainu. Ma megalo lonu inyan aysavas davke. And this is the conclusion. From Elokus, from Oyr, you could know the Eibishter, but not the whole Eibishter. You can't know Atmos, you can't even know Moir, as the built in Mitzvus Nimtz. Nevertheless, I mean, I'm boy, whatever that means. But from Yeshus, you could know the Yeshus of the Eibishter. And the Rebbe concludes, Aval Eir Mitzah Datzmi. This is the one line I didn't read last time. Eir in and of itself, Einem Agal Alonu Inyan Atzmus Kal, that's not a real Atzmus at all. Vayna Lefisha Eir, Einli Erech Vashachas Kal Atzmus, because Eir has no relationship to Atzmus. So we have a classic dichotomy, right? The whole point of Ein Sof, as we understand it in Kabbalah, is to say that meeting Ein Sof is tantamount, is the same thing as meeting the Eibishter, which means the Ein Me'ein Hamor. And now the Rebbe says, even though it's the Ein Me'ein Hamor, it's not Me'ein Hamor. How could those both two things be true? Okay, we'll do page Reish Pehe. We'll do the last two pages of the stack on Sunday morning. And Monday, the Yechayla stack is basically prepared. I'll start it on Monday, Blina.